Not much action at the food court.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Mall operator General Growth Properties filed for bankruptcy today, saying it couldn't refinance its debt. It's not a surprise with a credit crunch hampering that ability, and sour retail sales are keeping people away from its shopping centers. This morning, RealtyTrack reports the number of homeowners who have received at least one foreclosure notice jumped 24% in the first 3 months of this year. That's compared to 1 year ago. It comes as President Obama released the latest details on his plan to help people modify their loans. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Back in February, President Obama announced he was putting together a plan to help 9 million borrowers stay in their homes. Banks around the country put foreclosures on hold and waited 2 months for the starting gun. The Treasury finally launched its $75 billion loan modification program yesterday. So far, six lenders, including JPMorgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, are signed on to receive billions in subsidies for loan modifications. But some homeowners are so underwater, this program won't help them. And vacant houses, second homes, and places owned by speculators don't qualify for the program. Now that banks are lifting their foreclosure moratorium, analysts predict there will actually be an avalanche of new filings, and that could mean housing prices haven't yet hit bottom. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
J.P. Morgan Chase reported a $2.1 billion quarterly profit this morning. That's less than last year's, but better than analysts expected. Futures are mixed going into the trading day. Yesterday, the Dow gained more than 100 points to close at 80.29. NASDAQ and S&P shares closed higher as well. Asian markets were mixed. European shares are higher for the most part. Last October, Marketplace hit the road to find out if the American fallout had set this country on the road to ruin. This week, Tess Vigeland and Amy Scott are back on the road, checking in with some of the people they met along the way. Tess has this hair-raising update from Jefferson City, Missouri.
Rich McCarty's been a barber here for more than four decades. Since I last visited in October, business is just a tad off. But McCarty is also a member of an investment club, and that's where it's really hurt. So he's reduced his holdings.
I've got a few stocks, but I'm probably right at 10%.
And do you see that changing anytime soon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it comes where when I feel comfortable, it will all go back into it again. Mm-hmm.
Bob Snyder is also in McCarty's club. He's an information technology contractor for the state. Snyder says the last 6 months were brutal for the clubs and his own investments.
We're down like 50% overall, but we're starting to come back. You know, whether we're at the bottom or not, I don't know. But it just seems like we're starting to go the right direction at least.
But both acknowledge that there may still be worse to come. And that's why in the background of the barbershop, CNBC is on all day long. In Jefferson City, Missouri, I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
And listen to more of Tess's visit to Missouri later today on Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
President Obama heads to Trinidad and Tobago tomorrow for this year's Summit of the Americas. And his decision to ease travel and money transfer restrictions for Cuba will likely come up. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now to talk about the president's cracking open of the Cuban door. Chris, is this more of a beginning or an end?
Well, depends on which country that you're in, but I think that is the beginning of a fundamental change in U.S. policy toward Cuba, at least when it comes toward trade and investment. And for Cuba, I think it's the end of the embargo. Now, that's a dramatic statement. The embargo has been on there for over four decades, but I do think we are starting to see the beginning of increased trade between Cuba and the U.S.
I guess you could look at the impact on Cuba and say it's positive. But what about for the economy in South Florida, where a lot of Cubans and Cuban Americans live?
Well, South Florida, as you know, is in a depression. If you're in the camp that believes, in general, that freer trade is good for an economy, I think this can only benefit the South Florida economy, to have more commerce between the two nations. Now, Cuba is very poor, so it's not that this is going to turn around the South Florida economy, but increased trade flows between the countries, the opportunities for entrepreneurs to develop businesses, net-net, it's a good thing for South Florida, and it's a good thing for Cuba. You know, most of the time, trade is a win-win situation.
What kind of lessons have we learned from this trade embargo over the past, four decades or more?
And I think the real lesson that you take from this is that trade is revolutionary. Commerce is revolutionary. And trade is not just money and entrepreneurial opportunities. It also means exposing an economy to different ideas and ideas that are an anathema to a bureaucracy that is in power. And we have a very good counterexample. You remember in the 1990s, the Clinton administration came under a lot of pressure to set up trade embargoes with China because of a lot of the human rights violations. And I'm not minimizing, by the way, I am not minimizing human rights violations in China. I am not minimizing human rights violations in Cuba. But the administration continued the trade with China, and it was the right move. China is now more integrated into the global economy. There's a lot more information in that economy. It's moving in the right direction. And so that's what I want to see trade with Cuba. I think that's the real lesson to take here.
Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joining us this morning. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Finally, the Bronx Bombers opened their new showplace today. The new Yankee Stadium cost $1.5 billion. StubHub reports that average ticket prices for the Yankees-Indians game was $400. When the original Yankee Stadium opened 86 years ago, a man was arrested for scalping a grandstand ticket for $1.25. In Los Angeles, home of the old Brooklyn Dodgers, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.